Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Rackliff, and it is Wednesday, January 24th. Conference Championship Week is here. Four teams remaining in the hunt for the NFL Championship, otherwise known as the Super Bowl. And today on the show, we got to do two things. First, I'm going to do a little post-mortem on the four teams that lost last week. Four very good teams. All four of them. And honestly, three of them very big surprises this year, but we'll do a little post-mortem there. What we thought about this year, what we have to look forward to for next year, and some potential changes for all of those teams as well. And then I'll dive in and do really just a quick overview of my conference championship rankings. Rankings can be helpful if you're in one-and-done formats especially, but even just to generally formulate your thoughts for things like DFS, betting, all of that. And then I'll dive deep into all of those topics on Friday's podcast. Let's get into it, though. Let's talk about the Houston Texans, who, of course, did get kind of blown out of the water by the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar showed up big, and I'm not going to hold that against the Texans. By all accounts, this season was a rousing success. C.J. Stroud went from kind of, I can't say he was unheralded. He was picked number two overall. But for a lot of people, an afterthought, a lot of people doubted this kid. They tried to find things to not like about him. And he went on the field and showed us there's a ton to like about him. His arrow is pointing up. I think he only takes another step forward next year. And really, in a lot of ways, I view him as very similar to Justin Herbert in terms of his long-term fantasy outlook. That's a very good thing. One thing I will say, though, if you expect to get him on the cheap, good luck. He is going to be one of the it quarterbacks in one quarterback leagues, and I guess in Superflex as well. He's going to be kind of how people viewed Herbert, Burrow, guys like that recently here. Well, that's going to be C.J. Stroud next year, so you're not going to get him at a discount. But I think he's going to deliver. And, of course, it helps when you have Nico Collins, who's only going to get better as well, who is now really etched his name in that conversation in the wide receiver ones for fantasy, that top 12 potentially conversation. You have Tank Dell as well. If healthy, we know how dynamic he can be as that, I don't even want to call him number two option. He's like a secondary number one option here. Now, beyond that, I'm not quite sure. Robert Woods is getting up there in age. Noah Brown could head into free agency, so we'll see what they do with their number three spot. Maybe there's a door open for Mechie, although Mechie and Dell have a very similar skill set, just Dell's slightly better at it. The running back spot will be interesting. Damian Pierce, that experiment is over. Devin Singletary could head into free agency, so we'll see what they do there. If they let Singletary walk, they will draft a running back, so that'll be interesting. Dalton Schultz also potentially a free agent, so they'll need to figure out if they want to keep him for the long term. The biggest thing, though, for this team, the potential biggest change, is whether or not Bobby Slowick gets a head coaching gig. As of now, it seems like there's a good chance. He's taken a lot of interviews. He's gotten the second stage of the interview process for a couple teams as well. So if he's out of the mix, I would still expect them to have somebody from that Shanahan scheme in terms of play calling. But I kind of, for me, I don't like it when you have a young quarterback who's going to keep shifting from one OC to the next and the next and the next, even if it is the same system, generally speaking, like the Shanahan-inspired system. So we'll see what happens there, but Slowick does really deserve strong consideration for a head coaching gig after what he did this season. All right, let's move to the next team here, the Green Bay Packers. This is a team that is extremely young. This is a team that also really exceeded expectations. This was a team that was on the brink of a conference championship berth. San Francisco came back, ultimately won that thing, but Green Bay pushed them to the brink. And a lot of that has to do with the coaching of Matt LaFleur. And good news, he's not going anywhere, although they did move on from their defensive coordinator actually today. So that can potentially help things if they get the right DC in there. But looking offensively, Jordan Love, actually don't think he's going to be quite an it guy, but he will now be firmly in that late round upside category. in one quarterback leagues. He will be a decent enough target in Superflex as well. He played so well down the stretch. Just struggled a little bit in this final game. I'm not gonna hold it against him against that defense. It was a tough matchup. Absolute prize fight of a matchup. The beauty for Love, youth. You got Jaden Reed coming off his rookie season. Romeo Doubs, who really asserted himself down the stretch and looks like he could be that true number one for them coming out of his second season. Dontavian Wicks giving you quality reps as a rookie down the stretch. Christian Watson, if he stays healthy, we know he can give you pop. He may not be the most consistent, but that's fine if you're looking, you know, specifically at Jordan Love. You have Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft. I mean, there are weapons galore here. The issue, though, what happens at running back? Aaron Jones, his number against the cap is extremely high next year, and he has no guaranteed money left on the contract. So you have that looming. You also have A.J. Dillon potentially heading into free agency. If they decide to part ways with Aaron Jones and they let A.J. Dillon go to free agency, they don't have a running back on the roster who can fill those shoes, so they're going to have to address it in free agency. By the way, $17 million is what Aaron Jones is against the cap next season. I can't see how they keep him under that number with no guaranteed money left on his contract. They have to either renegotiate or cut ties with him. I mean, it's one or the other. He's 29 years old. Next year is his age 30 season. There's no way you can pay a running back that kind of money, even as good as he was down the stretch. All right, let's move on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Obviously, they have a decision to be made with Baker Mayfield, but I think that decision kind of made itself, especially if Baker isn't going to ask for like crazy, crazy, crazy money. If he's in the $25 to $30 million average annual range, it's a no-brainer for them. He galvanized the team. He was a huge part of their success. He wasn't the only reason for their success, but he was a huge part of it. And honestly, not a bad fantasy option as one of those safe. Like, he's a perfect super flex option, I think, for next year. Mike Evans is another consideration here. I don't see how they let him out of the building, but you got to be careful with the contract structure. It's like if they give him like a 3-year deal, I would think maybe two of it with guaranteed money, but the last year gives him an out because he is no spring chicken, but he is coming off of a really good season. So how can you let him out the building yet? He hasn't shown those signs of decline. Now, Chris Godwin will be interesting as well. With Godwin, in some ways, we're going to see this with some of these guys. We have this similar situation of said player, no guaranteed money left on his contract, huge salary cap hit. He is $27.5 million against the cap. That's projected 11.3% for next year, no guaranteed money. They either need to rip up that deal, do a new one, or cut ties with him. Now, the good news for Tampa is, you know, they were in salary cap hell for a minute there with Tom Brady. They are not in salary cap hell any longer. Like, the teams that are, like the Saints are going to be in salary cap hell forever. Saints, Dolphins, Bills, Chargers are in a bad spot. They're in the worst spot. The teams in the best spot, Commanders, Titans, Patriots, Bengals, Colts, Lions, Texans, and then the Buccaneers. They're in a very good spot after they rip that Brady Band-Aid off. So they may be able to do some things. I wouldn't expect them to move on from Godwin, but they really do need to renegotiate that deal. The backfield is beautiful with Rashad White. He's a true bell cow, and he played tremendous football. And honestly, I'm excited about Cade Otton heading into next year because he took a nice step forward this year. Even though he wasn't the most consistent, down the stretch, though, Baker really looked his way a lot. All right, let's finish it off. Buffalo, disappointing end to a season yet again for the Buffalo Bills. I mean, it is fair to ask whether or not Sean McDermott is the right man for the job. I think he still is. I would love to see them keep Joe Brady as their offensive coordinator, and so would Josh Allen. Speaking of Allen, Superman, he's the top, if not, if he isn't the top and you have Jalen Hurts ahead of him, it's splitting hairs. He's tremendous. He is an absolutely outstanding fantasy option, which means I won't draft him because he's going to go earlier than I'm willing to pay at quarterback in one quarterback leagues or Superflex for that matter. Stephon Diggs, Will he be back with the team? Now, he showed very real signs of decline this season. Got off to a decent start. Still managed a 100-catch season, but signs of decline. No guaranteed money left on his contract. $27.8 million against the cap. That's projected 11.4%. That's a lot. Age 31 season. Do you cut ties with Stephon Diggs? Crazy to think about, but a very real possibility. Also, a very real possibility, Gabe Davis reaches free agency. They're not going to tag him, so he could be out. So what happens then? If no Diggs, no Gabe Davis, like, yes, they have a good tight end situation. They can run a lot of 12 personnel with Kincaid and Knox. What do you do at wide receiver? Because they have Khalil Shakir. Cool. He'd be a good beneficiary, but I'm not running out and grabbing all the Khalil Shakir I can. They need to either bring in a free agent, which could be doable this year, and ideally somebody younger. Like, hey, get me T. Higgins if he's not tagged. Get me T. Higgins or something like that. Bring in a free agent or two. Obviously draft at the position as well. This is a great year to draft at the position. And hey, Buffalo, you know, they're not going to be picking early. They're 28th in the first round. But there are going to be receivers who will be available there who are very good. This is a great class. Running back, James Cook proved that he can be a feature back. So I'm all good on that front. The one challenge for James Cook, as we know, and this isn't going to change, when they get to the red zone, he is not the goal line back. Their goal line back is their quarterback. So that is the one challenge. Okay, so that ties a bow on those four teams. I'll do, obviously, a postmortem for the two losers this weekend, next week on the show. Just a heads up, too. So moving forward on the podcast, I think I'm going to end up doing two podcasts next week. I am going to bring my equipment with me. I'll be in Vegas the entire week before the Super Bowl doing Radio Row stuff and TV stuff for CBS. So I'll have my equipment with me, like my mic and everything, and I'll see if I can do some podcast stuff there. So we'll try and get two up on that week, the build up to the Super Bowl as well for you. So try and keep at least two a week here for a while until we eventually go back to more robust. We'll have more than two a week in a build up to the NFL draft too. But anyway, just a little housekeeping issue. Okay, so conference championship round rankings. Quarterback is pretty straightforward at the top. It's Lamar. He has an enormous ceiling and a really decent floor given his ability as a runner. I think he's really the cream of the crop here. But number two was tricky. I actually have Brock Purdy just a tick ahead of Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes certainly has the edge in terms of rushing yards, but Purdy has the edge when it comes to passing productivity, so he gets it. He doesn't have to face the Baltimore defense. Now, not that the Lions are a pushover, but the Baltimore defense is very, very, very good. And then Jared Goff bringing up the rear. There's only four guys to rank. At running back, it's a top tier of one, and then things get interesting. So I have Christian McCaffrey at one. Okay, duh. After that, though, I'm putting Pacheco at two, even against the Ravens. Now, Jahmyr Gibbs didn't have David Montgomery on the same team, then he would be a two. And, you know, put them pound for pound, side by side. Yeah, it's Gibbs. But Pacheco only has Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Gibbs has David Montgomery. And heck, even Craig Reynolds got a goal line carry last week. So that moves Gibbs down slightly, but I love the ceiling out of him. His ceiling's enormous. Gibbs at three. Then Montgomery at four. I do have Montgomery ahead of the two Baltimore guys, Gus Edwards and Justice Hill, at five and six. They kind of cannibalize off of each other. And as far as I'm concerned, those are the playable options. Like, if we're looking for DFS this week, those are the playable options. I don't want to get cute with the remainder. And it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire at seven, Elijah Mitchell, Dalvin Cook, Jordan Mason, Craig Reynolds, Patrick Ricard. I don't want to get cute with those guys. It's one of those six. I do think you could use any of the four quarterbacks, but only those six running backs are going to be in play for DFS. Moving over to wideout, Amon-Ra right now is in the top tier by himself. Why I say right now is if Deebo Samuel does not play, Brandon Ayuk will join Amon-Ra in the top tier. Right now I have Amon-Ra at 1, Ayuk at 2, Debo at 3, Rashi Rice at 4. That's really the premium tier of guys this week. There's still going to be value, and I'll tell you my cutoff point here too, just like I did with running backs, but there's still going to be value. But anyway, that's the premium group, subject to change, of course, depending on Debo Samuel's status. After that, I have Zay Flowers at 5, and in here, let me get this tier together. Zay Flowers, Josh Reynolds, Juwan Jennings, Jameson Williams. If Debo doesn't play, Juwan Jennings will move either, he'll probably move just ahead of Zay. He's not Debo Samuel, but I do expect some of the work to go his way. So that's the change there. As far as all of that's concerned, we're going to figure that out, and we'll actually have, we'll have more intel there on Friday, but I don't even have a practice report yet. It does look like it's 50-50 on Debo, and it's like one of those where shoulder injuries, even if they're not severe, like shoulder injuries that would require surgery, they can still be very painful, and you could have limited range of motion. So I think that's the big thing. It's just going to be time with Debo Samuel. Those are the playable options. I mean, I guess in theory, you could try and roll the dice with one of the next three, and they're all Baltimore receivers, Rashad Bateman, Odell, and Nelson Aguilar. But that seems quite risky. So as of now, I have 8 playable wide receiver options. You know, if you really wanted to get cute, sure. I don't think you're going to need the wiggle room in terms of salary this week to worry about that. After that, let me just rip them off here. After Aguilar, Justin Watson, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Mecole Hardman, Kadarius Toney, Richie James, Ray-Ray McCloud, Chris Conley, Sky Moore, and I do expect him to be activated, and then Donovan Peoples-Jones. So none of those guys really desirable. So it's really that top 8, possibly top 7 if Debo doesn't go. And I don't think I go as far, by the way, because I know that's going to be a question. Would I go as far as possibly using Ray-Ray McCloud or Chris Conley if Debo doesn't go? I don't think I do. I could see it happening where, you get on the right side of ownership because Chris Conley catches a touchdown or something. But I just don't want to. I don't want to go that route. If I'm not playing in 150 lineup tournaments, which I don't tend to play in those, I will fire a bullet in the millie, but I don't have the bankroll to put 150 lineups in the millie consistently. No, thank you. Let me go to tight end here, which I love this tight end group. This is awesome. We have 4 of the top 6 tight ends in all fantasy in the playoffs with 4 teams left. It's amazing. So Travis Kelce, believe it or not a huge gap between him and George Kittle. I do prefer Kelce, but Kittle is a monster as well. Then I have Sam Laporta at 3. Those guys I don't really have any questions about. But 4 and 5, I have Andrews and Likely. Andrews first has to be activated, which I think he will be. How much is he used compared to Likely? And, do they continue to use Likely? They should, but how much do they use Likely? The problem, of course, with that team is they're extremely run heavy. So again, I just don't know if there's enough to sustain production for both of them. So it makes Likely a very risky play. After that, none of these guys are usable. Noah Gray, Kyle Juszczyk, Charlie Werner, Blake Bell, Charlie Kohler. Not using those guys. Really just going to stick to the top 4. And again, I'll give you more insight on what I'm doing there on Friday. I'm playing all 3 slates, so I'm going to play the full slate, and I'm going to play the showdowns for my playoff league, so I'll break all of that down. Betting, one and duns, we're almost there, one and duns, and this week has a little bit of a different strategy than what we would use in the previous weeks, because we do want to make sure we have enough players to field a full lineup in the Super Bowl. So keep your eyes peeled for that. That'll be coming out on Friday. In the meantime, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, and of course, ftnfantasy.com is the website. Go check it out. All right, I will catch you on the flip side on Friday for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.